O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Now, this being the last Sunday of the month, we will have our fellowship luncheon after this service, and all are invited to join in good fellowship and good food. You will note in your bulletin that our 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon will be the final activity of the day. Our brother Lee Prater will be preaching at that service. At our Wednesday evening service, we will gather here for prayer at 7:30, and Pastor Otero will continue teaching on the theology of Bible doctrine. Wednesday's topic will be on the attributes of God. We'd like to bring your attention a couple of more items. We hope that you will set aside the first Sunday in October for the celebration of the 20th anniversary of the founding of our church. We expect it to be a time of a great celebration, and we hope that you will be able to attend. One other item, next Sunday at the 5 p.m. evening service, we will be showing a 10-minute video on the work of Gideon's International and their work in distributing the Bibles in 178 countries in the world. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 15, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Thank you.
us continue our worship with hymn number 171, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart, the first and last stanzas. Stand now as we sing hymn number 376, Take Time to Be Holy, the first and last stanzas.
Prayer this morning, and I'm so glad that my three granddaughters are with me. I brought them from Oregon as I spent time last week, and my pastor, who saw me through the seminary, is sitting in the back with his beloved wife, and I'm so scared to death now. All right, let's pray together. Father, we are delighted that you have separated a day to worship you, to love you, to express our heart to you, and at the same time to hear from your word the manna that will build our spiritual life. Father, we pray that as we fellowship with you through this service, through the KKMC radio and KKXX radio, through the internet live, Lord, we pray that those listening today may pay attention to the counsel of your word and then to the praises of your name. Father, we pray also for the CD ministry, the tape ministry, and so a large amount of people who requested help. And we have friends all around Watsonville, Aptos, and Salinas, and friends who come and visit with us because they know that we are a church that preach the Word of God and want to let God expand His kingdom. And so, Father, in order to expand His kingdom, we must show the living manna, the Word of God, so that God may work in the hearts of people. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for allowing me last week to visit with my daughter. Thank you for her recovery and her stability. And Lord, thank you that I'm so happy and so proud to have a family who love each other. And thank you for the three girls that are with us today. Lord, they are just, each one of them, a piece of my heart and my wife's heart and an extension of Miriam's life. And so, Father, how precious it is to have the grandchildren near and around you. Lord, we also pray for our large amount of missionaries that we have, Fred and Carol Lewis. And thank you, Lord, that we saw them. And on the first week of August, they are going to depart for Siberia for the school there. And Father, for Carl and Ruth Knott, who are in America visiting. And after 15 years of long work in Huasca, Spain, and they plan to return next year to Sevilla in Spain. Father, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who are in the beautiful city of Benalmadena in Costa del Sol in Spain. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of darkness. For Ruben and Irene Zagert in Lodi as they minister to the Spanish-speaking people. For the sport ministry on the young people in the city of San Jose. For Martha Paretti on the alcoholics and also on the drug addicts as she ministers and work in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And for Daniel Lacey as he's today in Ohio and tomorrow on the races in the Trans Am. And Father, we pray that as he ministers every day at 8 o'clock in the chapel and then on the racetrack, that he may have the witness of the word so that the Lord may bring someone, even in that field, into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing our missionaries to be a part of our ministry. Thank you, Father, for providing for our church. And thank you for giving your people a greater spirit of giving in this Bethel Baptist Church. So thank you, Father, for the offering, and thank you for the giving. We pray for complete blessings as we fellowship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you. As the offertory take place in the church, we want you to know that it is a great moment of fellowship as we talk one-to-one. And I want you to know that on the first Sunday in October, we will have our wonderful celebration of 20 years of ministry. We try to bring our missionary not to speak and to be with his family with us. And after the service, a big luncheon will follow, and you are invited free of charge to all of those who come and fellowship with us. And if you are listening via radio or perhaps via the internet, will be a great opportunity to see you. There are plenty of hotels around here that you can come and stay, and will be a day of rejoicing to see so many people who listen and then fellowshipping with us on that day, the first day on October. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that the whole service will be a blessing to your heart. Remember our phone number, 408-778-2595. If you have a prayer request, please let us know. And may the Lord bless you as we continue in the service. Let's step into the service who is in progress.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, that by your grace you sent your Son to be our substitute, who became for us righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We glory in him and come before you in his name. We thank you for bringing us to a knowledge of the truth, to the one who is the truth. When in times past we believed absurd theories of origins, we thank you for the knowledge that you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days according to the scriptures, and by your mercy have come to understand to keep holy the Sabbath day, to point us to Christ, our Creator and our Redeemer, the one who brings us rest. Our gratitude for such a great salvation will never end. We thank you for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, and pray that you would bless him and his exposition of your word so that we may grow in the truth and knowledge of our Lord. We pray for those listening also on the radio and internet, and especially those who have not put all their trust in Jesus Christ, that they may come to believe the gospel and know him as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. We made a parenthesis last Sunday on the issue of the commandments, and now we follow through again. We make a parenthesis next Sunday. We speak about freedom and thee, and then we continue on this series of the Ten Commandments that we find every scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. The first commandment has to do with God himself. Who is God? And we live in a country today that the name of God is generic, like medicine. You can have a substitute for anything you want to, but it's not so when it comes to the commandment, and we saw the name of God, Jehovah, so clearly in the scripture. The second commandment has to do with the worship of this one God. And remember, establish how we need to worship this God. The third commandment has to do with God's character, symbolized under his name. And we study some of the names in the scripture in the morning service so that you get a respect and awe of admiration to this powerful God who has power to save. Now we come to the fourth commandment, with, to me, deal with eternity, with the eternal salvation symbolized by the separation of one day of the week dedicated to the work of adoration. Now, the seventh day was not created with the idea of work limitations, but rather as a day dedicated to our God. When we obey this commandment, we receive a spiritual power to obey the rest of the commandments. If you have your Bible open in Exodus chapter 20, you notice quickly that the Bible doesn't talk about a 5 days' work. You look in verse 9, and the Bible says in Exodus 20, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. And verse 10 says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shall not do any work thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservants, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Now, when the seventh day becomes a day of recreation, remember this, when the seventh day becomes a day of recreation in lieu of adoration, we fail to respect the commandment of the Lord. Now, the great question is this: does the Bible
make reference here to a particular day or to a particular principle. That is the important part. Is God talking about just keeping a day, or is God giving us a principle that leads us into eternity and this magnificent commandment? Well, I would like to share three thoughts with you about this commandment, as simple as possible, so even the young people and the children can understand it. And I'm sure if a child understands, then the adults have no excuse. The first thought is this. The seventh day of rest is pointing out to the rest of salvation. The seventh day of rest is pointing out to the rest of salvation. And I'm going to compare two scriptures. Verse 8, Exodus chapter 20, and verse 8, with Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So it's very close to compare. And for those who follow me with the Pew Bible and those who have Bible across America, I got a call from Baltimore thanking us for sending us our church Bible so that they can follow. Some people are not so familiar with the books of the Bible. And as you know, I mentioned the page number and now they can follow us. I want them to see the scripture because the scripture that produces the faith and the hearts of people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the choir has seen for us. Now, Genesis chapter 2, we said the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now notice, God did not rest because he was tired. I was in Oregon, not as a free landing evening in my daughter's home. I worked 2 days in the yard. My wife, you never want two women as supervisors. My wife and my daughter were giving me assignments here and there and there. And you see me under trees and under things. And I worked so hard one day, 6 hours without stop. I said, that's it. I need rest for tomorrow. This is not the case with God. God did not rest because he was tired. He rest because he was satisfied. That's a big difference. He rests because he was satisfied. I'm so glad that the Bible, when we compare it correctly, explains things out. And as you know, my great dream that I learned a long time ago when I was in seminary is that the New Testament is in the old contained and the old is in the new explained. And so we're going to practice this today. And we're going to go to the explanation Jesus gave us by an example in this commandment. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, page 568, if you follow with our Bible. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. And I'm going to show you how Jesus interprets this commandment and an incident that has to do with the commandment. And remember, the seventh day of rest is pointing out to the rest of salvation. And Jesus made that point very clear. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8, we read this. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were a hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees, remember the doctors of the law of that day, saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a hunger, and they that were with him? Jesus was familiar with the scripture, people, and that's beautiful. How he entered, verse 4, into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have no read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place, in other words, right there with them, is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this means, I will have mercy and no sacrifice, you will not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The seventh day of rest is pointing out to the rest of salvation. Now, let me briefly recall what we read. Jesus and his disciples walked through a grain field, and the disciples, being hungry, start cutting and eating ears of grain. The question was placed by the doctors of the law, was that behavior of the disciples right in view of this commandment that we're trying to study, because it was on Sabbath day? Is that correct for your disciples to do that? One of the answers I found it was just to really bring a legal answer to this. Let me first clear the disciples on their work. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, 23:25, page 132. Let's take the question in two steps. Number one, it is right for a man to walk through a field, and if I'm hungry, I just pick something and eat it. Now, we do that in South America. The trees on the streets are fruit trees. And if you're hungry, you just pick up an orange or a mandarin or whatever you like, and you open it and eat it. It is legal. The tree is on the street, belong to the city. So you can pass by, you're hungry, you take something and eat it. I did that here in America in Ohlone College. You know, you don't eat olives. We love olives. We go and clean up three or four trees with olives, and my wife prepare it. And some people say, what are you doing? Just picking olives. You know, it is on the street. You can do it. Now, is that correct? Deuteronomy 23:25 have the answer. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the head with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. In other words, with your hand, you can do that. You cannot use the machine, but with your hand, you can do it. So what the disciples were doing was correct. The act itself of plugging out the head of the grain was right. But because it was on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees thought it was illegal because of the day. So the disciples were not stealing. That's good to know. According to the law, they can walk through a neighbor's grain. They can, I'm hungry, I'm going to pick up one here and one there, you know, picking here and there. And that was okay. But that was done on the Sabbath day. And the doctors of the law said, you cannot move on that day because that will be work. Now, here is their reasoning. Plugging the head of grain was work. And work, according to the fourth commandment, was prohibited. We just read it. That's in the way they understood. Now, what was Jesus' answer to this? If you're in Matthew 12, in verse 3 and 4, page 568 again, in Matthew 12, verse 3 and 4, Jesus gave an answer to the question now, not of just plugging, but on the Sabbath. In verse 3, Jesus said, but he said unto them, Jesus, talking to the disciples, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. So Jesus refer now to the law, to the scripture. And look at in verse 4 again. How he, David, entered the house of God. That's the temple. And ate the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only to the priests. Now, have you not read this? And so Jesus is saying this to these doctors of the law. Extreme necessity justify David because God was not offended by David's act. And by offended is a nice word in lieu of sin. David did not sin. Now, David has done something to satisfy a legitimate need when his men were weak with hunger. And that's explained, and we don't go now, but it's explained in 1 Samuel in chapter 21 very, very clearly what he did and how God never counted that into the affair. So now the Pharisees are confronted back into their territory. It's good when we know the scriptures. Help all of us to understand circumstances, and especially in this day where there are so many cuckoos outside saying whatever they want to, it's good to know the scripture to see what those people are saying is right or wrong. So Jesus said the very act of eating the corn was no wrong. Now in Matthew 12 and in verse 5, Jesus says, another episode, he said, have you no read in the law? Now that brings them to their books, in the law, that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Wow. Now the situation is, Jesus is a good defense attorney. You know, it's complete. As a good trial attorney. He went over there and he said, now let's take your accusation in two parts. First, plugging ears is okay according to the law. Now secondly, do it on the Sabbath. Well, it is okay because look, the priests eat the showbread. The priests work in the temple on the seventh day. They profane the temple. That profane means they violate the law. They violate the law. They had to light the candles. They had to prepare the bread. They had to do the sacrifice of the people who offer. They do work. The priests work. They profane. And there was no wrong to it. They are blameless. So what are you talking about? He's saying to these people. It is evident, according to this text, that the law about the day of rest did not mean absolute rest. Because the priests had to do their work on the Sabbath day and were not guilty. The argument presented by the Lord Jesus is clear and is this. If the priests were not guilty when they profaned the law because they were working in the temple, so the disciples were not guilty because they are working for Jesus, who is the reality of that temple those priests were working for. See, now Jesus is going to introduce a great, massive truth in verse 6 and in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, yet I say unto you that in this place, right now, he said, there is one greater than the temple. You see what Jesus did? He compared himself with the temple, and not only he compared himself with the temple, because there's one greater than the temple. Reality is much better than a picture of. All right? I remember when I was dating Raquel for 7 years, she would send me a picture. That was fantastic. But when I saw her, that was a real thing. And that's what Jesus is saying. The law in the Old Testament was showing you pictures of the reality. But Jesus is reality. They are right here, and I'm right here, and I'm greater than anything was in the Old Testament. Now these people really have a work to do. Jesus explained to us that the Sabbath is not a day of absolute rest, but rather a day of getting busy in the worship of God and into the expansion of the kingdom. Otherwise, I'm guilty of preaching to you today, because this is work. And so therefore, the seventh day is a day of rest, pointing out to the rest of salvation. You rest from your regular occupation to get busy in the kingdom of God. Already we have 1 hour of service from many of you as you taught Sunday school class. Whether you were with the little ones or you were with the adult classes, you work, teachers, because you have to study and now you have to explain it, and you were working. And you were not guilty of violating the commandment because you are explaining and expanding the Word of God so that the kingdom of God may expand. Number one, the day of rest is not a day of absolute rest. It's a day of worshiping God and working for the kingdom of God. As you do that, you do not violate the commandment. Now, I have a second thought about this. It is this. The seventh day of rest is pointing out to the rest of reconciliation. Reconciliation. 95% of the world do not know that they are an enemy of God. We who are believers know that we have been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And that day, pointing out to this. Now, why did the apostles change the seventh day for the first day of the week? Turn your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 20 and in verse 7, which is page 654. Page 654. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And you will see when Paul really preached. The King James Bible said, "Now on the first day of the week." You have a Greek Bible will say, on the new Sabbath, on the new Sabbath. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Paul was not speaking on radio, so he can keep on going until midnight. On the first day of the week. Why the church of the apostles changed gradually until we read in the book of Revelation Sunday is the Lord's day? You did read that in Revelation 1. Now, what is this change? Why this change took place? Because when mankind sinned in the person of Adam and Eve, they lost the rest of the law. You remember creation. Everything was created, atmosphere. I was talking to a physicist 2 days ago, and he was anxious to know how the massive of gas was separating from the air, seeing this and the other. When you study physics, you know the volumes and weights and so on. And he said, but you know, I never going to learn that, but I believe that God did it. Thank God. The physicists say that. He said, there are things you cannot figure out, but I believe God did it. Now, God created that and created, have you looked plants with flowers? In Oregon, rains all the time, so you see the greenery so beautiful. And I work through the plants, and what a color they have. It's life to me. Plants are life to me. I love plants. I learned, of course, when I was 3 or 4 years old with my grandmother. Plants, it's just life to me. That's what I ask fresh plants every service, because it's life. It's life. Now, after that, God makes the crown of creation and creates mankind. And to give mankind the crown of creation, he rests on the seventh day. So give mankind eternal rest forevermore. When man lost that, when he sinned. When he sinned, he lost that reconciliation, that unity with God. Now, it took the cross of Calvary to bring the rest back to mankind. On the first day of the week, the Bible tells us that Christ's resurrection took place. And thus brought reconciliation to mankind. Look in your Bible in Titus, in chapter 3, verse 4 and 6, page 703. Titus, chapter 3, verse 4 and 6, and you will see how God, no man, brought reconciliation with God in Christ. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appear, not by work of righteousness which we have done, not by any work, not even keeping a day will save you. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And look at verse 6. Whom he poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God poured out his Spirit, not to everyone, to his people. When? It's very easy to know. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, page 688. Ephesians 1, 13 tell you, page 688, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured in you. Was not when you wanted, was when God decided. In whom ye also trusted. After ye hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In order to receive the outpouring of the Spirit, there has to be the experience of hearing the gospel, the pure word of God. In whom after, said the Bible, ye believe, and remember why we believe, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, see? You were sealed with the Spirit of the promise. And you were sealed, not temporarily. If you're in Ephesians 1, you can go to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And the Bible reveals to you the length of that sealing. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed till the day of redemption. All the acts of God. All done by God. And so this commandment points out reconciliation with God. God rests the seventh day. And mankind now, they have a pictorial within the law. They have a pictorial of that eternal rest till Christ. When Christ comes into the picture, he is the day of rest. And therefore, united with Christ, you rest eternally. No, by keeping a day you go to heaven, is by God and mercy giving you the light and the knowledge of the Son of God. There is a third thought about this, and it's this. The seventh day of rest is pointing out the rest of regeneration. God has regenerated our life. Regenerating means giving you new life. If you go to Matthew 11, page 568, and verses 28 to 30, these are verses that you are familiar with, and many Christians across the nation and the world are familiar with. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. In verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now notice that Jesus did not say, do this and do the other and keep this, and then I will give you rest. You just have to come to me. Have to surrender your life and come to me. Verse 29 said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, And you will find rest for what? For your soul. I told you that God was not tired. He was satisfied. God is not going to give you rest for your body. He's going to give you rest for your soul, the most important part of your life. That's what God's going to do. It's going to touch your soul and change your soul. Verse 30 said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When God works in your heart, then you come to rest in God. When we have in our heart the salvation of God, we come to rest in God, which is not a life without work, but rather a life that rests in God for his salvation, and then keep on working and worshiping him and expanding the gospel everywhere. You know something? Today is Sunday. It's a day dedicated to the Lord. If you carry some tracts, when you stop your car to put gasoline or something, and don't forget to pass a tract about the Lord Jesus. You never know what God's going to do. People tells me, you know, people will not be saved. You never know. People left to their own will never be saved. I will never be saved left to my own. But God has power to save. And the day of the Lord is the ideal day to get busy in the kingdom of God. Now that we are his children, we rest in the sense of trying to work our salvation out. How many people, you know, I was looking in the telephone book in Portland. How many churches, how many denominations, how many things are there? And if I call all of them, they will give me an idea of what they think it is myself and God and how I need to be united. How many? But you know, God is the one who unites you to him, and not just to lay down and be idle, but to get busy in the kingdom of God. That's what the commandment is saying. The commandment then teaches that it is a remarkable principle. Mankind lost the day of rest when he sinned. God brings a picture in the Old Testament that setting apart a day to worship God and working for God is a sign that one day will be someone who is the day of rest and will take that day upon himself. And when we have union with him by the miracle of regeneration and reconciliation done by God through his word, then we really have rest. And we separate a day a week, not just to be saved, but we separate a day a week because we are saved. That's why. So we need to put all of these together. And here's the conclusion. I have preached in funerals in this text, in Revelation 14 and verse 13, page 727. I have preached many times in funerals in these texts. Revelation 14 and verse 13, page 727. Then I hear a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, that they, look at this, may rest from their labor, and their work follow them. My great people who are grandparents, never be tired to teach your grandchildren anything in the Lord. Your works will follow. When we have the girls with us, life change. I know. And some of you have 8 children. And each time I have the 3 with me, I pray for energy, take double vitamins. But you know, it's the most precious moment of your life. Somebody told me, you are so close to your grandchildren, they will never forget you. I hope they will never forget what I taught them about the Lord. And that's what the text says. Even though you die, you see, your works will follow. So grandparents, you who labor and get tired and exhausted, you can get well after one night of sleep. But you can pass that day of rest, eternal rest, to your grandchildren. It will be the greatest crown you have. There is a day set apart, not to be idle, but to worship and work for our Lord. What is it? Saturday or Sunday? Under the law, the picture was on Saturday. From Christ on, from his resurrection day, is Sunday. Why? Because Christ is our rest. There is a Bible verse to say that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, page 705. 705, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. You see that? For we who have believed do enter that rest. We don't have to keep a day to enter into rest. Was the believing of our heart. That gracious moment when God gave us the faith to believe. That gracious moment when God granted unto us illumination to see that we were lost and to see the work of Christ, that he died for me on Calvary's cross. You can explain to a person thousands of times and they say, yeah, yeah, but one day they believe it. As the day that God has chosen to bring that person into life. I never forgot the words of Galatians 1, 15 and 16, where Paul said, the day that pleases God. He chose me from my mother's womb. But one day he pleases God to reveal his son in me. Oh, I said, Lord, that's happened to me. I have learned from childhood the scriptures and so, but one day clicks everything on it. Not because I was an engineer. No, because God. How revealed to you. And so that's the day. See, that is the beautiful day. Have you come to Jesus for your spiritual rest? There is a denomination, they keep that day as much as they can in order to be saved. Now, you can keep the whole week in order to be saved. You will never be saved that way. You be saved only by the grace of God and the mercy of God. When God, as Paul said, pleases to reveal his son in me. And when you are at the sound of the word of God, you are closer to that. Whether you read the Bible privately or you are in a service or in the radio. And you hear the Bible, you are as close as God can bring you to be saved. But I tell you this, there is nothing we can do in order to be saved or keep our salvation. How precious God is saying to us, stop trying to do something in order to become holy. Already we have the Holy One. Surrender to the Holy One. Believe on the Holy One. And you will be holy. And then you will have a day of rest, not to rest really, but to get busy in the kingdom of God. What a fantastic picture in the Old Testament of the work of God. He rests. Mankind break that day and go over rule and bring Christ the perfect rest. And when Christ speaks, he's saying, I am greater than the temple. What else you want? Who are we? Greater than Christ? No way. We better start thinking properly. The day of rest is a day in which we dedicated ourselves to God. In this church, I'm so happy. We come here at 9:45. We leave at 6:30. One class, Bible class after the other, in different levels. Praises to God and training in the choir. History class, Bible theology classes in the afternoon, going through the Old Testament in the evening service. And I see you with large family living far away. And each time I go home, I say, Lord, thank you for these people. You bless my heart. I don't need 5,000 people to be blessed. I need a handful of people who follow. And then I know that my work is not in vain. My brother and my sister, let's keep on going. Let's keep passing it on. Christ and Christ alone. No a law, but Christ and Christ alone. Don't put laws to people. Just give the freedom of Christ. Christ is the glory. See, people want to do things. Well, they are, you know, we as human beings are prone to do something, to acquire something. But when it comes to the gospel, you can do nothing. Your heart is shut off. Your mind is gone. But can be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus and his wonderful salvation. May God make you thankful that you know Christ. And may God challenge your life to get more busy for Christ and his day. Then you exhibit that you have received that day of rest into your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the beauty given us in this commandment, a sign of your work and a challenge to our life to get busy in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim the gospel, that we can pass a tract, that we can share in the computer with somebody else about Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is your day. And because we have the day of rest in our heart, we want to be like the disciples. Keep on plugging and moving on till you come. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm glad Jesus came, glory to his name, oh what a friend is he. He so freely gave his own life to save from bonds of sin set free.
I've got that time religion
your love in my heart is down inside.
I've got a new kind of feeling in my heart,
true joy, where joy will abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that time religion
in my heart. In my heart it is down inside.
Sinner, won't you now humbly to him bow, just let the Lord come in.
You'll find perfect peace, joy will never cease, you shall the life crown win.
I've got that time religion
in my heart, it is down inside.
I've got another kind of feeling in my heart,
where true joys will abide. Nobody knows what it means to me, nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that
time religion
in my heart,
I don't know if people will ask for a copy for the sermon or a copy for the music. All right, will you stand, please, as we are dismissed. We remind you that today is Fellowship Sunday. You're a guest. Please stay with us and have lunch with us. We have always plenty of food for everybody. Heavenly Father, this is your day. This is a day where we learn that we have received the glorious salvation of Christ. Maybe somebody gave us a tract. Maybe somebody explained the Bible. Maybe we read the Bible alone. And Christ found us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that many, many who are here today may start thinking about Jesus. And in your mercy and grace, you will give them also life and life eternal, an eternal day of rest. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the fellowship. Bless us as we depart and bless us through the dinner. In Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.